What's that? What did you, what just happened? What's
I
on your
don't know.
face?
This is the way I do my hair.
Oh, are you gonna swoosh your hair when we get started?
No, this is
You're an
I'm at
influencer.
Coachella. I'm at Coachella. This is emo.
Oh, this is your emo mode. I see. Oh, that's why your liner's on.
What liner? This is I'm Middle Eastern.
Jafar. We got
Hey,
Jafar going on
babies.
here.
Welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast hosted by me, Dr. Anna
Okay, you're
Guanche.
allergic
I'm
to
so
pendejos.
excited
You're
you're
so
here.
offended because
We
it looks
plan to educate, inspire, and entertain you. This podcast is not just about beauty. It's about lifestyle, inspiration, life hacks, and of course, beauty.
Welcome to the Dr. Beauty Podcast. I'm here with Dr. Ben Talay, and I love him. He's crazy, but I also want to fight with him a little bit about fillers, and I don't want you to get mad at me. You're not going to get mad, are you?
Me? No, you're gonna be confused because you're gonna try to
I'm
tell me about fillers.
confused.
I'm like, what are you? Yeah, I'm gonna be like, what are you talking about? I love fillers. And you can see, like, no.
Oh, I'll be confused because you say you'll love fillers. Well,
I'm a rapid fill doctor. I fill fast.
you're a rapid fill. You're like one of those speed gas tank filling kind of
Yeah, I used to
bigot
do.
people.
Yeah, I would do 40 people a day. 5, 6 days a week.
I
That
know you
was
told me
like,
that. You told me
yeah,
that.
I like
So, okay, so you were born in California,
San
right? We're
Jose.
gonna Nice. So, tell me, how did you get started doing what you're doing? It sounds like you had a long journey before you even started medicine.
Yeah, I, well, before medicine, I did a lot of stuff. I was like a I did. I had a lot of jobs because I finished college in like a year and a half, 2 years, and sat around, didn't want to go to med school yet because my friends weren't going and I was pretty social. So I did like ski patrol, drove an ambulance, I was a private investigator, I was a piano teacher, I worked at a pet shelter, I worked at a blood drive. Like I was doing a lot of different things. I went abroad for a year, went somewhere else for half a year, just did a lot of different things. I
And
was always getting
meanwhile,
really.
your parents were freaking out.
Yeah, they're like, why would you do this? Just go straight to school. And I'm like, don't tell me how to live my life. And so that was the rule of my life was my parents would always disagree with everything that I wanted to do, including the fellowship, including the second fellowship. They're like, just come back home and start working. So things, you know, I do things a little differently than my parents would want.
Yeah, most of
And
us do.
yeah, and initially I was going to be like a heart surgeon. And then I'm like, let me be a brain surgeon. And then I realized how miserable they are. And I narrowed it down to like orthopedics and head and
Oh,
neck.
wow.
And I wanted to be a cancer surgeon. So head and neck oncology was really what I wanted to do. And in my third, fourth year of training at Columbia Cornell, I started like crying every day because people had cancer. And I would tell them they had cancer. And they'd look at me surprised with like a cigarette in their hand. And yeah, it was just sad. So I thought, okay, I'll do the this is itchy, this is terrible. I thought I would just do the reconstruction.
That's interesting that you say that because I did an MICU rotation when I was doing a transitional internship, and I saw people die on a regular basis, and I was extremely distraught. I didn't sleep when it was time to sleep. I didn't sleep when it was on-call time. Maybe I'm just too sensitive. You know, the people that go into life or death situations where they're talking to families about little end-of-life issues on a daily basis, they're almost like clergy. And they have a different kind of resilience than I have. So I would just have nightmares about a person I talked to yesterday and today they're no longer alive. It was crazy. So I think maybe that's why I gravitated this way where things are lighter. And, you know, obviously I'm thrilled that there are people that do that kind of stuff, but it just was upsetting, like deeply upsetting.
Yeah,
So.
it was a hard choice actually to get away from it because I'd committed myself to doing that, and I'm obsessive with things that I do, including in residency. I was at Columbia and Cornell, and that's where the Stark Law began. You know, that's where like the work hour issues and all that stuff. So it was already a harsh program to begin with, and even then, I worked like 20 hours a week more than everybody else just because I just wanted to do more cases and I loved it. So it was really hard for me to. make the choice. But I had remembered my friend who went to law school or went to med school, and they went like 2 years, but then decided to drop out after committing, you know, so much time. Right. And people would tell them, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. And I'd say, what are you talking about? It's like the most courageous, smart thing to do is cut your losses, and it's not going to work out for you, and just switch fields. And so that's what I was reminded of. I decided, you know what, as much as I committed to this, I'm like, I can't do it.
Yeah. Well, what, how do you, and now you just recently told me that you're not working Fridays anymore.
So I was working six days a week for 7 years. And that was, Monday through Friday was 16-hour days. So it was 5:30 a.m. to about 10 p.m. And then Saturdays were like 12-hour days. So not that bad. But my body was able to, I was always the person who could handle not sleeping. And I'd go party, and then I'd go work 16 hours. And I'd go out for dinner, work 16 hours, travel, do whatever.
Right.
Now it began catching up with me, and I got into like a brain fog. And I like to create things, whatever those things are. It doesn't have to be medicine. And I just couldn't do it for a couple of years. My brain was just like, it was working, but not very well. So I decided to cut off Fridays and Saturdays. Yeah. A couple months is nice.
And now it's been a couple months, and you're not going back to, you're not ending up doing work on your day off.
Little
Do you
bit,
find yourself adding work because you're just a workaholic?
Yeah, but it's not the same. It's the stress level is much less. So because it's like 30 hours less of work a week. So that's a lot of time I have now to think. So I'm finally finishing a couple publications. I'm now finally organizing a book that I'm writing. I'm opening two new different types of offices.
Tell us about that.
Well, one of them is it's like an energy center. So there's nothing like it really. It's not a healing center. It's not, a medical necessarily, just medical type place. It's a place where you go just to feel better and get energy, just like you'd go to a coffee shop. But the idea is that we do things naturally, and rather than taking HGH and testosterone, for example, which everybody is doing, even though it's got, you know, long-term heart risks or cardiovascular risk, we're going to give them something natural to boost that energy. Or instead of you come home from a trip and you have jet lag, you pop in, we have a jet lag treatment, which works.
Uh-huh. Makes you so like IVs and boosters and things like that, maybe?
A combination of different things. And we're going to incorporate a little bit of sleep medicine, a little bit of genomics, like little tiny things where we can see, you know, how we can shift things in the right direction where you don't have to be addicted to coffee, because nobody sees caffeine as an addiction, which is crazy. It's an addiction. And if you don't drink 7 cups of coffee a day, you feel terrible. And it's like smoking. It's like if you've never had a cigarette, you don't really ever crave a cigarette. And caffeine,
what if you only drink one coffee early in the morning at like 6 a.m every single day of your whole entire life?
That's not too bad. Yeah, it's
that's
more
not
like
too bad, right?
No, because you don't go with the waves of ups and downs. You go with the waves of ups and downs, it's kind of like a drug dependence. If you have it just in the morning, it's like, you know, it you're not dependent on it, you just like it. But if you have it 9 times a day, you're obviously dependent on it, like using Afrin, and people are like, oh, well, I have to use Afrin to sleep, or I can't. And they keep doing it.
It's a rebound. Well, I did that all through college. I worked 3 jobs. I put myself through school, and I drank coffee and Diet Coke every day to stay awake. And then when it was time to sleep, I couldn't sleep because I was so jittery. And then I got up and drank coffee to study and Diet Cokes all day, because I waited tables, and I was in this whole slippery slope. But somehow I would function on no sleep, like you were talking about earlier. I didn't even think about it. I would be up till 6 a.m. and just go to class at 7 or 7:30. And I didn't even feel it that much.
Cocaine makes that easy.
Huh?
I said cocaine makes that easy.
Oh, never. Can you imagine if I ever took that? Wow. That could be my DOC. You know what I'm saying? So one of the things I found out about you early on is that you like to cook, and that is something I don't know how to do very well. And it just makes me like, not envious, but like instant admiration for people that know how to cook. So tell us your favorite dish that you cook and what got you into cooking.
I've been cooking since I was a kid.
And don't make faces like that. You guys should watch this on YouTube.
I've been cooking since I was a kid. Since I was probably like first time I made eggs, I was like 5 or something. And when I was 7 years old, I was making myself breakfast every day, and I just always liked to cook, and my mom was a good cook. Now, the reason I like cooking, or I got into it, other than just being a fat ass, is like I like creating things. I like making things. So for me, it's not fun to like go read a recipe and then copy the recipe. That's not creating something. You haven't made anything. You just copied someone else's work.
You didn't invent anything. You didn't invent.
Yeah, that's not that fun. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I try to tell my brother, because my brother's like, oh yeah, I cook. I'm like, Nate, the way you cook is like people putting together IKEA furniture and then telling people that they're a carpenter. I'm like, it's very different. I go, why don't you deviate a little bit from just following the instructions? Go do it, you know, make something. So I started just creating different recipes. I've read very few recipes in my life. Most of it is just trying to play a guessing game, which is the fun part of it. And it took a while for me to understand like different flavors that are within different foods and different ways to cook them. And over time, my success rate went from like 5% success rate to like now I have like a 99% success rate with something I'll cook for the first time. I don't taste it before I'm done. So I just make it because I know I kind of understand it.
You don't taste it while you're cooking it?
No. It's more fun for me to just like guess and make sure, you know. And then at the end, I feed someone else the food and I look at their face and I'm like, success or failure. And then I take a picture.
You just let the other person be your guinea pig. You just feed them this food that you never tasted.
Yeah. And then I take a picture of it and then I never make it again. So that's.
And then you never make it again. Oh, so he has his own, you guys, Instagram page for his food. What's it called?
Ben Talley's Kitchen. So it's actually, I have it on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook was the original one. Instagram only has like recent ones, but if you look at like the hashtag Ben Talley's Kitchen, there's like old ones in there. So
all the ones, So we discovered myself and my team discovered that he cooks. We were like asking him, can you bring us breakfast when we go to Beverly Hills on Saturdays? But he hasn't done it. But one day.
Yeah. Well, the office that I'm making, the Energy Center, is going to be two doors down from you. It's on Bedford and Brighton. Yeah, so it's right there. It's on Bedford and Brighton.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, the Lips Center is on Sunset Plaza. That's a different one.
Oh, that's great. The Lips Center. You know, I love doing lips. So I want to hear more about that, but I want to talk about this Energy Center because I've said this on my podcast before that I used to be a pure scientist, and I believe that people that were talking about all this other stuff were just like a little nutty, whatever. I just wanted to hear proven things, like scientific things. And then I slowly came to discover about energy. And it was about 2 years into practice where I noticed every room has a different energy. Every patient interaction is an energy exchange, and became converted to a true energy person. So at least the best I can do right now, you know, it's always an evolution, but it's interesting you call it an energy center because I don't know if you're talking about esoteric energy as well, or if you're just talking about nutrition and things that make your body more energetic. But I definitely believe in how energies affect our bodies and how people affect each other. Some people will drain your energy out. Some people fill you up. And some people are totally neutral, and you should gravitate towards that equal exchange, I feel like, because you don't want to be draining anyone else either. So that's something I see daily, one room to the next room to the next room. Every room feels different, you know?
Yeah. So the center is not so much about that, although I do live my life that way and kind of, you know, look at those things. But the center is more focused on invigoration, like daytime energy, sleep issues, and then even sexual energy. So we're incorporating all those things together because they do overlap a lot. So if I had more time, I would be advancing the place faster, but I've got some good ideas so far, and we're going to start with like the basics and then kind of grow it as we go. And I've partnered into it with like two of my friends who are very industrious, so I think it's going to be a very cool place.
Well, I also think sexual energy is what powers us all to some extent, whether we admit it to ourselves or not. And so I have read about sexual transmutation. That means you use that power, that drive to drive some of the things that you do, the things you invent and the things you create. And it should not be sort of oppressed, but it should be cultivated. So those are some of the ideas that I believe. But I know you're probably talking about like biological approaches, which is also amazing.
Yeah, everything all together. But definitely, I agree that there's overlap with sexual energy and other drives in your life. And that's why I feel like if you make all these energies better, people just feel better and they won't be, they'll be happier, which is the main thing, but they won't be dependent on other things. So again, like caffeine.
When are you opening? When are you opening?
Oh, no, I'm saying it's going to be another like 4 or 5 months probably. And then the Lip Center is going to open probably at the same time. So it'll be two different things that I'm trying to manage at once.
That sounds like you. What's the name of your energy center? It's called the Energy Center?
No, it's called Etern, but we haven't figured out if it's going to be Etern like Energy Center or Etern Revitalization or, you know, so it's going to be Etern something, but it's called Etern.
Exciting. So do you have any new projects? I know you just talked about two new projects, but do you have any new projects going on as far as TV stuff?
Yeah. There's a couple things, like segments here and there. So there's I have an Inside Edition segment coming up for a lip procedure. I have E! News for Lala Anthony's mom. We did some stuff on E! I have another E! News segment for something. So there's just these little like segments, but
coming up,
nothing. Yeah. But no like series or anything like that. I don't know if I'd have the time, but it would be fun.
We should have our own show.
Yeah. I would just follow you around.
I'm being nice to him today, but we usually have a lot of banter going on. We fight about stuff.
You're always nice to me.
I try. I'm nice, right?
You're pathologically nice. You're so nice.
I'm pathologically nice. I think he's being sarcastic.
No, you are.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, you're too nice.
Did you know that there is a pathology to being nice?
I did not know. I guess it's like a vitamin overdose. So
it's like it's like when you don't have any what's it called? What the hell? When you don't have any not borders, but what's it called?
Inhibition?
No. Oh, that too. I don't have that. But I also don't have what's it called when you tell people like you're bothering me? Like when you give
boundaries.
My brain's not working. So I just like everybody to be happy all the time. So sometimes I find, that's the problem of being too nice sometimes, that you want everybody always have everything they want. It starts to be a little bit hard to do because everybody can't get everything they want.
That's why we became doctors.
And then I think also aesthetic doctors tend to be more like that, like because we are, you know, able to listen well and try to please people and give them what they were hoping for and what they wanted. And people that have a little bit different personality might not attract that sensitive patient type that's a cosmetic patient. So you have to be a really good empathic and warm and pleasing personality type. So I think that's it. So, okay. So before I get into our argument about fillers, I want to ask you, who inspires you?
Like in life?
Yeah. In life, how did you, did you have somebody that you thought look up to that you thought was, you know, the ideal or someone that you help lead your idea of success for yourself?
So like the majority of my life is medicine because it's my job and I get obsessive with things, including that, but it's not the only thing that I like or that I do. I'd say from childhood in general, the two people I looked up to were Albert Einstein and Mel Brooks. Yeah. Einstein, I like studied pretty intensely when I was a kid, just because I like respected intelligence and the way he thought and being very free thinking. So he's a very logical person. Whatever makes sense, and he understood relativity of things. So I always liked that. And then Mel Brooks was just the most insanely funny person alive. So those are the people I really looked up to. As far as like professional life, I've had so many mentors. I really looked up to all of them, and I've wanted to be like all of them in some way. Like I don't want to be exactly like any of them, but with Steve Perlman, who was like my first main mentor, I wanted to be like him. With the way that he handles patients, the way that he operates, the way that he, has a nice like work-life balance. I always looked at him and really looked up to him. Anthony LeBruna, I always looked up to because he was like a very charismatic kind of smooth talker. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could be like that. It was just nice watching him talk to people. They just loved him. Ash Kacker, who was one of my ENT attendings, was just nonstop, worked all the time. And so I wanted to, I like that. Like I like just going,
You
going,
like
going,
that
going. And he,
driven thing. I know, I do too, and
yeah.
I find I can't stop. I find that I go and then I can't stop. But I love that you love Einstein because he's one of my top three, and I've read a lot about his life and his method for receiving information. I call it receiving instead of creating. He was a big meditator. If you read, I'm sure you read, his wife said she would go upstairs and he would just be sitting in the attic just for hours and hours. I mean, he wasn't scribbling like formulas. He was just staring out into space, she said. So he was probably doing a lot of sort of meditative, like receiving of information and yes, thought outside the box. And maybe he didn't succeed at some of the things that we think he should, like math in kindergarten or fifth grade or whatever, but he was able to do something so much more than that. So he is one of my idols too. So there's a book. What is it? Which book is it? I can't remember which one of my crazy books I read, but it said that if you can't find a mentor that's in real life, you can find a mentor from history. Like you can have Abe Lincoln sit at the table with you. Yeah. And you can have Einstein sit at the table with you, and you can have like former presidents or Winston Churchill or somebody like that, and you can pose conversations to them, like, what would you do in this situation? And then try to gain inspiration based on what you do know about these historical figures. So I always tell people your inspiration doesn't have to come from an actual live human. It could be from someone in history that really makes you feel like, wow, how did one person do that many things in one life? Like, my biggest one is Benjamin Franklin, because I'm a little tiny. Yeah. How many things did he invent in one lifetime? I don't understand.
Pretty substantial. Yeah, some people are
Yeah.
just inventors.
Inventors. I love inventors. Okay. So you told me who inspires you. Dr. Perlman, the one of the doctors, I didn't recognize the name, but I think, who was it?
There's Anthony LeBruna. He's a plastic surgeon in New York. That's what, where I was training. And then Ash Kacker, he was my ENT attending at Cornell, who was just like nonstop. And he's the greatest guy. So I always wanted to be like him. And then
Wow.
Andrew Jacono was my fellowship director. And I learned from him a lot about just, we had the same logic about surgery. So we got along really well. And then I learned a lot about what I would run into in life because we have the same personality, and I saw really what was happening to him with overworking, and I warned myself. I'm like, okay, you can't be like this. You can't be like this. Ultimately, I was like that. I did the same exact thing, but then at least I had noticed it early on and try to fix it. But yeah, I learned from a lot of them. And my second fellowship was actually in birthmarks with Milton Wehner in New York, and I loved how he was because he was very entrepreneurial. He would just invent. He had like 70 something patents on lasers, and I love technology and toys. And so I started reading all these books on physics and the physics of lasers. And I really got into to lasers and heat therapy and all this different kind of stuff for a while, which was a lot of fun for me. But I really got that from him. He was like the best laser educator ever. It was he was truly a physicist and had developed so many lasers himself that you just think about things differently with lasers. And I really like that. So I was addicted to lasers when I came back to LA trying to do birthmarks and unfortunately, I don't do many birthmarks anymore, but that was like a big part of vascular birthmarks, is really playing with lasers to get rid of them.
Yeah, we did a lot in my training too. So dermatologists love to invent lasers as well, like Rox Anderson. And he's invented 5 or 6 major devices that you hear every day. Like, it's crazy. So I love that we can bring that to people. But you're right, unless you're in a big academic center, you don't end up doing that many large birthmark laser treatments. But what lasers are your favorite ones in your practice right now?
Well, my favorite lasers of all time were the V-beam.
Me too. Well, it's not my favorite.
Yeah. Well, it was my favorite because of birthmarks. We'd use the V-beam on hemangiomas and port wine stains, and then we'd be using the NDAG. There was an old school SLT NDAG, which is like a wand NDAG, and we use those for big venous malformations on the lip and the tongue, and you shrink them, and it was really cool, rather than doing sclerotherapy and bleomycin and all that. So those were fun. And then the gentle YAG was nice for doing the more superficial venous malformation. So I love those. But as far as the rejuvenating skin resurfacing kind of beauty lasers. The still my top favorite is probably the dual fraxel. Just because you get so much out of it with lower downtime, and I really like that. And then especially if you combine it with a radio frequency, Profound or Morpheus or something, it's really nice.
Oh, it sounds like we like a lot of the same devices. I think that what happens with practice over time is people start to distill down the 5 or 6 devices that make the most difference for our patients consistently with the least amount of downtime, if possible. And then we all sort of end up in the same place, roughly. It might be a different laser maker, company, but most of the time it's the same technology. And then a lot of the lasers tend to be another iteration or blending or delivery, but it's the same, So it's interesting when I talk to people who've been in practice for a while that they start to distill down which ones are their workhorses, and they do a lot of. Do you like IPL?
I love IPL. The issue with IPL is it's overused. So even if you have filtered IPL and classic, the first real filtered IPL was the Icon Palomar, but the one before the Palomar. But even with that, it's not a laser, it's light. And with light, even though you're filtering, you're still getting absorption in other areas. And the whole magic of lasers is that they're monochromatic and with a very, very short pulse duration. So when you explode something, you really don't damage the surrounding cells as much, whereas IPL, it's impossible to avoid. So IPL, I love it for really white people. It's really, really nice. For super, because then you don't have to worry about anything. Yeah. But then you get towards the 3 and 4, and then the laser company's oh, you can definitely use it. And then a year later they show up with melasma and you're I guess not. So I do love IPL for the lighter skin types, but you start to get a little more risk profile as you darken, even with the filtered ones. But IPL is nice because you could just hit broad areas with these hand pieces, and you can do hair removal, and you can do all this other stuff with IPL that's cool. And nothing gets rid of superficial pigment like an IPL does. IPL is the most magical thing for that superficial, dirty, that you see. So I do love it for those things. And the newer IPLs are pretty impressive, and they're getting really short pulse durations now out of them, kind of getting towards a pico, which it can't be as short as a pico or a Q switch, obviously, because of the way it bursts the energy, but it's getting closer to that. So the IPLs are getting much more interesting now. They're really cool.
Yeah. We have an IPL, but for a long time I didn't get one because I was a purist and I only wanted collimated beams and lasers. And I decided that I would get an IPL because there's a lot of demand for it. And it's great for photo damage, like freckling, Fitzpatrick 1, 2, maybe even 3, just sort of that whole freckling thing. But I did notice that the hands, it's great for. I noticed that a lot of spas will use only that device. So then what happens is it's when you have a hammer, everything's a nail. So they start using the IPL for everything, for all skin types, all over their body. And then that's when we get into trouble and we see issues, So.
Yeah, the most common I've seen with IPL that is so avoidable. Well, first, never IPL an Asian person, but the other thing that I see is the upper chest, people will try to do IPL for sun damage, but while the person is tanning, like while they're tan. Yeah. And then they just burn, you know, they just burn and I get all these marks everywhere. So that's like, unfortunately, the most common, but it's so nice to do for the chest because a chemical peel can't do what the IPL does for the chest. Like it's so nice when you get the little superficial like rosacea that's there and the pigment. Mm-hmm. I love IPL for that, you know, when people do it properly.
So segueing into surgery, what is your favorite procedure to do? Is it the lip lift, the Cupid lift, the Aura lift? Is it, which lift is it?
It's hard to pick. You know, I like the Aura lift, which is my face and neck lift, makes the biggest difference and it takes 2 hours. So that for me is just like so much bang for your buck in terms of like someone getting a big improvement with one procedure. The lip, I'm obviously a little more biased towards because a lot of the stuff that I'm doing with lips I've created, like it never existed before. So that just becomes more fun for me. Yeah. Although with the facelift, it's the same. There's a bunch of things that I do in it that I created that are fun. So the more I create about something, the more I like it. Cause I feel like, you know, I did something. Yeah. But I'll say that the coolest thing is like, I'm a teacher. And since I was a kid, I want to be a teacher. And in surgery, they tell you, you know, you could be the most genius surgeon in the world, but you've contributed nothing to humanity. So like, how special are you? Versus a surgeon who comes up with a reproducible procedure that has benefit, now you've contributed. And right. I forgot, you know, one of my professors had told me that like back in the day, and it always stuck with me. And so with the lip and the face, I realized I can't teach the face to everybody. It's just like they come and watch, but they really have to spend like 6 months to a year with you to kind of get it. It takes a while.
And even then they might not get it, right? You can teach for many years to someone and they may not get it. It's just some of it's individual, right?
Yeah. And the lip, I thought I'd gotten it down to like a nice little science where I teach them and they go do it. I've taught hundreds of people for the lip, hundreds and hundreds. And then they go do it and I see their cases and their, you know, the results and their revision sometimes. And it's just like, when I go in there and I do the revision, I'm like, they didn't even listen to me. Like they're in the wrong plane. And so I kept thinking to myself, okay, like they're not listening. How do I make it so we avoid this? And I realized like doctors they don't have flexible minds in general. Like most doctors are very concrete. It's like most doctors lost the flexibility of mind at 5 years of age. When you have that,
it's too much memorizing. We had to memorize too many things. We lost all our creative juices. Maybe they were there before.
Yeah. So they don't have that. They don't have fluidity. And I realized, you know what? I got to come up with an equation. And it sounds stupid because I always tell people there is no equation for the face. You know, they come up with like fifths and thirds. And I'm like, these are guidelines to understand and it helps understand, but it's not what you know, apply to someone's face. It's what you use to understand a face. You don't know any better. And so I was always against making up equations, but I thought, you know what? Let me just try. So I started measuring out the lips and how I was doing it. And I realized that this whole time I've been doing lips, I've been measuring a slope. I've been measuring it the entire time. I just didn't realize. Because I can measure the half a millimeter. I've done so many with a caliper that I can measure the half a millimeter without using
the
caliper.
With your eye. Without the caliper.
Without the caliper. So I started measuring the things that I was designing and then realized, oh shit, there's an equation here. And so I developed the equation now and that's how the Cupid lift came about. And now I can teach it to people more easily. There's like I wrote a like Bible to understanding lips, which is, I was trying to publish an ASJ, but they said it's too long because it was like 12,000 words. So I had to, so I've cut it in half and resubmitting it. They've pretty much approved it. So it'll come out in a couple months.
Kill your darlings. Isn't that what they say when you're writing? You have to chop it. So that it's just like narrowed down.
It hurts.
Yeah. So it hurts. I know. So, it's interesting to hear you talk about measurements of the face because we are always being asked in aesthetic medicine about the golden ratio and different facial ratios. And I looked at that for a long time. And then I realized that it just doesn't work for me. Every patient's going to have different ratios. And there is an attractiveness, but it's hard to quantify with numbers exactly what ratio that is that makes people beautiful, and chasing that ratio, like, let me make the chin longer because this is the exact distance between here and here. It doesn't work on every patient. And so you just have to go with the individual's features. But do you agree with that? Or do you feel like those ratios are very important? Yeah.
No, 100%. The only people who can flex the ratios. So let's say you see somebody and they come into your office and you look at them and you've learned, okay, I've got to make this face like this, the fifths and the thirds to balance it out.
Yeah.
Like, you can't take a person with a tall forehead, long chin, small mouth to someone with a long mouth. So, you know, you can't change those things. Right. So you really need to look at them and just try to understand their face and imagine on their face, say, what if I were to add a little volume here, how would it look? Like, you look at their face, mm-hmm. what if I were to add a little volume here, how would it look? And then you start to think about, okay, you know what? They look like they have a little bit of an underbite. They look a little retruded in the maxilla and the teeth. Like, what if I put a little lip filler? Will it make it look weird or will it make it look more balanced? So that's really how you approach things in general. The only exception to that becomes orthognathic surgeons and craniofacial surgeons. So they can change the ratios. So they're mm-hmm. the only people who can do it. Like, we can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. We can't change the ratios. Orthognathic right. surgeons and craniofacial, they can actually do that. So they're the only people who I think should have permission to go and try to like balance out someone's face to any substantial extent in terms of ratios of chin height to lip height to head height and all that. But for the rest of us, we just have to play within our sandbox. Like, whatever we see, we have to just imagine what little things can I do here and there that'll just enhance it or balance them out a little bit and not get too crazy with the changes that we make. Cause you can't take someone from here to here. It's like, you know, you just got to do like incremental changes. Also.
Incremental changes. Yeah. I think that, you know, everybody's a little bit different. Some people want just a little bit of not even change. They just want to be restored to what they look like before. So that's easier. Like, if somebody just wants to look young, in the sense of, they want to look like themselves, but just less lines and less, you know, wrinkles and all that stuff. It's easier than someone who wants a monumental change in the way they look. Like, they want their jawline, they want their chin to protrude more. But even that, sometimes we can do with filler, higher cheekbones and, you know, the chin can be more projected. So I feel like we can change the proportions a little bit with filler, but it doesn't last forever, you know? So then people often will use it as their gateway and they'll come in and they'll do a nose reshaping and then they'll say, I like this and I'll go get surgery so I have a permanent result. So I don't think that the two sides, the surgery and the non-invasive specialties like mine, are mutually exclusive. In fact, they're very complementary. And I know that plastic surgeons like you agree, because you'll have an injector in your office or you'll have laser devices or all that stuff. And I think when I first started practicing, there was more of a divide, like that non-invasive stuff doesn't work is what surgeons were saying. Yeah. And they were only wanted to do surgery. Well, now they always have a spa added and they do all the non-invasive as well, because not everybody's ready to do that right now. You know, when they're ready to do surgery, they will. When I'm ready, I will. But it's just a matter of having the two complement each other. Yes. So I'm glad to see there's a lot of multi-specialty meetings where the derms and the plastics are in the same meeting together.
Yeah. My approach when someone would come into my office for a consult, now it's not like this anymore, but like back when I started and for the first 5 years, even my approach was always to walk them through the three classes in my mind of intervention. And I said, okay, if you do non-invasive, that means you're along the lines of like Botox, filler, that kind of stuff, you can do this and it's quick, you can do it today kind of thing. And here's the result you'll get. The middle choice is doing something in the medium range, which is doing like more substantial lasers, heat therapies, fat grafting, that kind of stuff. And you'll get this kind of result. And then you have your surgery, and surgery, you can do these few things for what you're talking about and get this kind of result. And I think you're here right now. So you just do this, you'll be happy. Or I say, if you do this, you're not going to be happy with the goals that you have in mind. You have to jump to this and then touch up and stuff. So that was always my conversation with people was, you know, it's very flexible, because you kind of you want to do whatever is like practical for them. It's practical. It makes them happy. And as long as you can get a nice result, doesn't matter if it's non-invasive or invasive, you get them to where they want to be. And you know, for me now, I've gone over more towards surgical just because my schedule. But that's because I can't do more anymore. It's like, it's just, I can't do the injectables. Well, take a long time and you got to sit with people a lot. And
Don't you have, but you have people at your office, right, that do injections and
Jen does. And it would have been impossible for me to understand the aging phase without having done all those injections. It's not possible. So, these surgeons who are always surgeons, they probably go like 30, 40 years into practice before truly understanding volumetric change, skin quality changes, those kind of things in people. It takes them a long time. Versus someone who's an injector and surgeon, you tend to learn a little bit faster because the injectables, you get to see more people, you get to see more change, you get to hear all their issues that they had with other treatments, and then you get to go surgically and look at them and look inside and say, okay, this is actually what happened. So you learn a little bit faster. So I'm very happy I got to do injectables for a long time because I wouldn't have been a good aging face surgeon otherwise. It's like you're not going to be, you don't know.
One of the things I learned from doing injectables is that people come in regularly, so you get to watch them over the years changing right before your eyes. So every 4 months, like you said, and every 6 months or every 9 months, you're doing filler, every 4 months, you're doing Botox. And then you're seeing how does this patient that I've had for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, how does their face changing and what's thinning, what's coming down, all that stuff. So it is kind of this perspective that you have on what is happening. And sometimes you can see people's aging before they can see it, not that you tell them, but you start to see the changes happening. And so you can catch it, you can start to catch these things happening. And like I said, people will have the ability to take care of a lot of stuff with non-invasive procedures. Hopefully one day we'll have a medicine we could take and we just don't age. That would be amazing. I would just be doing stuff to enhance, like if people want a little bit fuller lips or straighter nose, but I wouldn't have to do it for anti-aging reasons. I think that's coming. But until we get there, we are gonna need surgery at some point, I think. But you have to know there's like a ton of people who maybe I select for that in my practice who are like afraid, or they already got it done and they want to like do some stuff to spruce up what they have already. So but you guys, I refer to Dr. Tillet all the time. He does beautiful work. So at this point in the podcast, normally what we do is we spin the wheel and then I get to ask you stuff. But since you're not here in person, should I spin
Let's
the wheel
do
for
it.
him? Huh?
Let's spin
Did
it
I?
together.
Let's spin it together. Okay, we're gonna grab it. One second. Oh. Say hi, you guys.
Oh
So
yay. Oh,
Rob, say
are
hi.
we
Oh, they
taking
can't
time?
hear you because I had to put them on these AirPod Pros because my sound guy that does the editing for the podcast says that the sound quality is not good if we just put them, on sound. But I just realized then you guys don't get to hear what he's saying. So that means you got to tune in to the Dr. Beauty podcast when I do the episode with Dr. Ben Talay. So it'll be coming out in about 3 to 4 weeks. And it's on iTunes, Spotify, it's on YouTube, the visual ones on YouTube. It's everywhere where podcasts can be found. Yes, if you're 6 months pregnant, it's a little bit late to stop your Accutane. That's not funny. That's absolutely not funny. Okay, next question. So silly. Anna. Say hi to Dr. Tillet. Can you see him?
I have his
He can hear me, but he can't. You can't hear him. Who? Okay. So you know what? After the podcast, I'll stop recording the podcast and we'll have a little minute if you guys have questions from him. But you can also follow him on TikTok, right?
I'm on TikTok. I don't know how to use it very well, but I'm on there.
At Ben Talay. And then also Instagram at Ben Talay. And also he has a cooking one, which is my favorite one. What's that? Ben's Kitchen. What's it called?
Ben Talley's Kitchen, hashtag.
At Ben Talay's Kitchen. Okay, hold on. We're going to get the wheel. Okay. Do you want me to spin it for you or Courtney?
Oh, yeah, go for it. Give it a spin.
Should I spin it? Okay, ready? Oh, I have my fingers behind it. Ready? What did we get to? Oh, jelly bean. Oh, we have these
Coming.
horrible jelly beans, but you're not here. I can't feed you disgusting jelly beans. Ah, huh? What is it? Okay, I'm gonna do a visual test on you. I decided that since you don't do jelly bean, I get to pick your next one.
Perfect.
What is this?
I mean, that's obviously a penis. You're showing me phallic stuff. It's a penis with a blanket over it.
Penis. That would be a lot of girth and no length. What the heck? This
Well,
would be
no,
a
it's like,
3-inch long, four, 3-inch long, 3-inch
yeah,
wide penis.
but
No.
no, it's not a photo of the full penis. It's like just the top of it, and there's a blanket over it, like you're showing.
The corona and the glands.
Yeah, there you go.
No. This
No.
is a tanning mitt. You put this on your hand, you put your hand, and you spread on your self tanner with it.
Oh, okay.
It's not a penis. Okay, what's this?
Okay, that's a dildo. Am I on the wrong game? Is this the wrong game? This inserts into someone or something. This is like it's an insertion device. Or is it a curling iron?
It's a special kind of curling iron that sucks your hair around it, like automatically. You know what I'm
Oh,
talking
there we
about?
go. Yeah, it rolls.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it rolls. Okay, this is fun. Okay, ¿qué es esto? Oh.
That is a sweetheart candy.
Oh, that's not. It's a gua sha. It's a scraping lymphatic drainage tool. Our kit at Bella Skin Institute has a little. We have a little personalized kit, and it comes with a jade roller. And then this is also the rose quartz gua sha scraping tool, so it scrapes out all the puffiness. We
Oh,
actually
there
do a
you go.
lymphatic drainage facial here too. But enough about Bella Skin Institute. What's this?
Okay, that one's the hair flat iron.
Yes. Woo, good job.
That
So
one I
far
got.
you have gotten 1 out of 4 correct.
Yeah, that's a lash placer, not curler placer. It's the one that puts the lashes on. Or is it the curler? No, it's the
It's a
placer.
curler.
The
It's a
curler.
curler. See, now you're trying to get all complex on me. Got that engineering. What's
Okay,
this?
that's the makeup applicator. Black foamy.
I got it right. This is called a beauty blender, the little oval sponge. Actually, the owner of this company, the founder, was on our podcast. Her name is Rianne Silva, and she's a boss babe. Has like 300 and some employees.
Use it for like tinted moisturizer, bronzer, and/or creamy concealers.
Wow. Did somebody just look that up for you?
No, there's
Did
nobody
your
here.
girlfriend just look that up for you?
No, she's in the other room in this massive house.
What did you just say? Creamy something and whatever what? What did you say?
Tinted moisturizer, bronzer, or a creamy, like a creamy base, like a foundation, creamy foundation.
That's very specific. I like that. What's this? We already talked
That's
about this.
jade rollers are wonderful. Rose quartz is nice too.
Jade roller. And what's this?
Those are little beauty beads, but I don't know what you do with them.
Neither do I. I don't know what this is.
Makeup.
Oh, it's makeup. I guess the beads make blush get onto the brush, so it's like a cute way to put your blush on.
Oh, there you go.
I
Little
haven't
blush.
tried it. That's mean to get. Okay, here. This is something that's trending. What's this?
That's you scrub floors with that, or
And
bathtubs.
also
Faces, butts, faces,
body. It's a
bodies.
dry scrubbing. It's a dry scrubbing brush. Some people think that dry scrubbing is great for exfoliation, including, even if they don't have KP, just kind of exfoliating and increasing blood flow to the skin. So it's like a big trend. And some people put aromatherapy powders with them.
That is a toilet plunger, a condom with a extra reservoir, or it's a funny looking beanie. Or it goes on your finger and you use it to tickle people.
Oh, that would be a very fat finger.
It's a finger condom.
What do we do with this? You know what it is?
No, finger condom.
No.
Was it?
It
What
goes
was it?
upside down, right?
Oh, is that an IUD? Like, so you don't
It's
get
a
pregnant.
period cup.
Period cup. Okay, so it goes in the
I don't know what the name of it is. These people are torturing me. This is not from me, by the way. My team, which includes Courtney, put this together. Okay, you better know what this is.
Yeah, that's for little pimples and stuff, blackheads, whiteheads, all kinds of heads.
That's right.
It's an extractor.
It's a head extractor. It's called a Schomburg extractor. Dr. Schomburg.
I'm obsessed with, so if I'm doing a facelift on somebody and they have like blackheads, I will spend 10 extra minutes just sitting there getting them out. And I use anything that's in my way. But like before I used to, you know, one of the better things, even better than that, is the curette, ear curettes. The oval, the firm round ones, the small ones, those are better than that.
Wow. I have to try it. This is Dr. Pimple Popper's curette that she gave me when I went to her event. She was also on the podcast. And so she's her whole thing. Have you heard of her? Sandra Lee, Dr. Pimple Popper? Oh, okay, okay. So it's got her little label on it. I didn't realize.
Hair clip.
Come on. He knows hair clip. Let's see. He's got a girlfriend or two. Bobby Pin. That's too easy. Give him something hard. What's this? Oh, what's this?
That's the hair band, a hair scrunchie, a hair, whatever that is.
But what do you do with it? It's not just a scrunchie.
Ponytails, like this. You just do a little like ponytail.
Oh, it's not just a pony.
No, I don't know.
You flip it over, your hair over, and it makes it into like a bun. Like you put the hair over the sponge. What are these called? We don't know the name, but close. You get a 20% on your test.
Yeah, I got one.
I'm going to spin for you again because I think you need a different test. Ouch. My finger. It's a good thing it's my left hand. I would say my right hand's my money maker. Let's see. What do we get? Free association. Okay, so free association. I say a word and you say one word, the first thing that comes to mind, okay?
My answers are likely all going to be like sexual related, but go ahead.
That's fine. We don't want to have a boring podcast. We want stuff that people want to hear. Lamps.
Shades. Okay.
I heard that you're into lampshades.
Yeah, I used to make lampshades as a kid.
You did? Like design different lampshades?
Yeah, Victorian lampshades. So you buy the lampshade frames. They come as a wire frame, and then you wrap them, and then to so you get hot glue wrapping with like lanyard, and then you can put whatever fabric you want and sew it to the lanyard, and then it'll.
Oh my god!
That's it.
I would love to see these lampshades. Do you have some of them at home?
They're at my mom's house. Yeah, because we used
to. You have to text me a picture of one of these lampshades. Okay. Pride investigator.
What, me?
Investigator.
I am the investigator.
What's the weirdest thing you just? That's a word. You're not supposed to say like. Three words back. You're supposed to say one word back. Like I say investigator and you say
me.
What kind of stuff were you investigating? Were you investigating like insurance crimes or like people cheating or like what kind of investigator were you?
So I worked for Empire Pacific Investigations and it was 50% was infidelity mixed with back checks, you know, mixed with kind of like family stuff. And then the other 50% was just insurance or workman's comp. So it was like that range of like red flag from insurance company. And someone said they broke their back and at this job, but then they have this other job where they own a construction company and they're riding a motorcycle every day. And
Or they're over there like, I can't work because my back hurts, but they're chopping logs.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like you get videos of them chopping logs. And you're like, excuse me.
Oh yeah. No, we got the craziest. Craziest videos for both infidelity and for that. Like people are just crazy.
What did you see on infidelity? We want to hear.
Oh, we have lots of stories. We had lots and lots of stories. We had like very creative people. We had like one girl who her fiance had bought her a house in like Marina Del Rey, got her this Mercedes, this, that. And she was just always on him about everything. Very jealous girl. And his friends kept warning him about her. Uh-huh. And he said, you know, hearing her, I would never want to get an investigator to like follow her, but I don't know what's going on. Everything's a little strange. And but he goes, I don't know if she's cheating or what. And so we told him, okay, go out of town. If you go out of town, it's always easier for us to follow someone because they're going to go immediately do something bad.
Right.
And he goes out of
That's what
town,
I
and
do.
yeah, right away. And so we follow her, and within like 1 hour of the first day, we follow her. She's at a Mercedes dealer, driving her Mercedes to a Mercedes dealership, circles around, parks it a block away,
Yeah.
comes out of the car, takes off her ring, puts it in her purse, goes to the Mercedes dealership, meets another guy, and leaves with another Mercedes. So there's like, and then there's like lots of stories about this girl, but in the end, we got her. We had a therapist in LA who worked for the city, and the first day on the job, she slipped and fell. This Persian lady, actually. And we go to follow her, and turns out she's a full-time therapist elsewhere and has all these like bullshit seminars and like getaways where you go into the. So we actually went, and we went to one of the getaways, and you film, and she makes everyone sit around a circle in a campfire and then start chanting some like bullshit that like she just made up, and then she makes them run through the forest screaming, and it was like the dumbest thing you could ever imagine. But
Was like, that reminds me of what's that one with Sandra Bullock where she sings to the window, to the wall. What's that one? Couples Retreat or something? Or do I have the wrong movie?
No, I remember the song when she was in. I don't remember the movie though.
She's out there doing like all this stuff and she starts singing. Oh my God, hilarious. I don't think that was the same movie, but it's just the idea is you're going on like a destination counseling trip or whatever. But okay, next word is plump.
Booty.
Plump booty. Do you do a lot of BBLs? No.
No, I'm
You do
only
mostly
face.
face. You only do
Only face.
face, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I had Dr. Gowanus on here and he does a lot of body and
He
he
does
does
that.
face too, but
Yeah,
mostly body.
he focuses mostly on body. He's really good. He's really, really
You know, I
good.
forgot to make fun of him for doing that. No, I mean, I like it when it's done in good taste though. Like
Yeah.
there's a couple docs I think do beautiful work on the BBL, you know, and it looks so beautiful. I've had a few patients that did it, but then sometimes it's just insane, like crazy
Yeah.
looking.
I've seen terrible results. Galanis' stuff is all clean and nice.
Yeah.
I've seen some crazy stuff around here.
So what, ooh, I got some good words for you. Let's see, boobs.
Well, I was also going to say butt. Boobs and butt.
Boobs and butt. Butt was the first one. Okay, contour.
Cheek.
Cheeky cheek. Only fans.
OnlyFans.
I'm cheating.
Professional.
It's two words.
Professionals.
Professionals? Do you have any patients that are on OnlyFans?
Most likely, yeah. And do you know what a professional is?
What does that mean?
Professionals. It's like a
A
known
sex
category.
professional.
Kind of, but not. So pros are the, when you're referring to a pro is technically, yeah, kind of like cooking, but it's a soft form of cooking. So we call them
Ah.
pros. Pros are the girls in LA who are kind of Insta famous and are always in bikinis and are traveling, and there's no guy ever with them in any photo, but they're always on some mega yacht and with like
Ah.
massive amounts of like new purses and jewelry, and they like to collect Birkins and Rolexes, which hold value, versus Chanel bags, not so much, right? So if you
Ah.
see someone who's traveling has got a Birkin, they're a pro.
I've got a few patients like that, but I didn't know they were called pros.
Yeah, they
Pro
call
means, pro stands for,
a professional.
you guys are being so mean to Courtney. She, do not say mean things to her. That's enough. So,
Like Courtney
now
has
she's
four
laughing. They're
Rolexes
making fun of Courtney's camera skills. But anyway, okay, so listen, pro what? Like pro. Is there
and
like
Birkins.
a second word that you're supposed to, by implication, know what word that is?
They're just professional. Yeah, they're professionals.
They're just
They know what
professional.
they're
They
doing.
know.
Yeah.
Okay.
They know what
Guanche lift.
the best thing ever. Is that too many words?
The best thing ever.
Is that too
You
many
saw,
words?
well, you weren't in the session when I did my Guanche lift demo, but a lot of
No, but I
people
know how
saw
it
it.
goes. I know how it goes.
You know how it goes. It's good stuff. Don't you put it down.
No.
Don't you say you can't lift with filler. You can lift with filler.
You can.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Did you hear that, everyone? Wait, can you say it one more time?
Yes, you can. You can.
You can what?
You can lift with filler.
I'm gonna cut that out and put that as the promo reel.
Yeah.
I'm gonna cut it out. Okay, so these words are funny. Okay. Okay, let's go nice. Model.
Super.
Juice.
OJ. I meant like OJ Simpson.
Simpson. They did call him the Juice.
Yeah.
Snatch.
Oh, best movie ever. But
is there a movie called Snatch?
Yes.
Is there? What movie is Snatch?
Guy Ritchie with Brad Pitt. Oh. It's amazing.
All this time I did not know, but you know that Snatch means something different than it used to mean, right?
Well, Snatch also is a vagina. Snatch, yes. Also is like something tight.
But snatched now, everyone says, oh, you did my lift and I feel snatched, or you did my lips, yeah. Or you did my hair and it's snatched. And I just laugh because all the time I've known that to mean vagina. So I'm like, wow, okay, so now it's a good thing. Okay. I mean, it's always been a relatively good thing, but I think people didn't say it in the same context at all. And so well, the first time I heard it, I was like, are you sure? What? But now I hear it daily, so. And what about TikTok?
Famous.
TikTok. Dermatology. What do you think about dermatology? Or don't say what you think, just one word.
Clean.
Clean. Heat.
What?
Heat.
Heat or Keith?
Heat. H-E-A-T. Heat.
Oh, Miami.
Miami Heat. Bikini. Yeah. Now he's going to say Miami again.
Little Bikini. Italy. Teeny weeny polka dot. Polka dot.
Too many words, but anyway.
Okay. Itsy, teeny, what? Weeny. Yeah, she wore an itsy bitsy. Itsy bitsy teeny. Yellow polka dot bikini. That she wore.
Yellow polka dot bikini. Yeah. I forgot the words too. Okay, so tell me, I asked you who inspires you. The one thing I ask every guest, because it is a Dr. Beauty podcast, is what is your definition of beauty?
Things you like to look at that make you feel good when you look at them. So that's the truest definition.
Okay. Things you like to look at that make you feel good when you look at them.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it. And then do you have an inspirational quote that you love that you say a lot, or is there like a little tagline you say all the time?
Well, I say things that are not politically correct, so I will not repeat those publicly, although I do of saying them. It is better to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and prove it.
Oh, I've never heard that. Well, I think I have heard that, but that's a really good one.
Some people attribute it to Benjamin Franklin, although it is unknown where it actually came from.
Very nice. Very good. And then are you ever going to come here to my office to do a real podcast in person?
Yes, I would love to.
Lies. Lies, all lies. This is just our practice session, by the way. We forgot to record. Let me see. No, we're recording. We're going to do it all over. You know that happened to me? I went on Brittany Ferlin, who's married to Tommy Lee. She has a podcast called Worst First. And I went to her house and recorded it. Oh, yeah, you were on it too. And I recorded the whole thing. And then she's like, oh, my God, I forgot to press record. So we sat there for another hour, hour and a half, and recorded the whole thing again.
And you had to try back to original the second time.
Say it again to make it sound.
You have to try to act original the second time.
Exactly. So to act spontaneous, or maybe I told a few different stories just to make sure that it sounded okay. Well, I'm glad we had you on. I'm so excited. Do you have anything else you want to tell people? Is there anywhere that you want them to follow you, or what do you want to say that you want everybody to hear?
Anna Guanche is the best, and this is obvious. And if you don't know that by now, you are dumb, deaf, blind, or stupid.
Oh my God. That is the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me.
Statement of fact.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you came on. Now I'm going to feel good for the whole rest of the day, the week, the year. Love. So Ben is a plastic surgeon in Beverly Hills. And he is specializes in facial plastic surgery, very high level, if not the highest level. He's someone I trust and refer to. And you can follow him at Ben Talay on Instagram, also on TikTok. And is there anything else? Should they follow on YouTube or...
I'm all over YouTube, Insta, and TikTok is Dr. Ben Talay. And TikTok, I still haven't figured it out. My girlfriend's like addicted to it. So I gotta get on there.
Addicted to what? TikTok?
TikTok.
Oh, it is the most fun. You really gotta get going on that. Okay. And when you come to my office, we'll do a TikTok together.
We're TikTok.
Perfect. Or I'll come to your new, what's your thing in the next few months coming up? You got two new things coming up?
Yeah, the lip thing when it opens, that'll be on Sunset. You'll see that. You're invited to that. You'll see a big opening.
Oh, good. The lip thing on Sunset, and then it's not a wellness center, but a energy center. Coming up, coming soon, you guys. Never a dull moment with Dr. Ben Talay. Thanks for listening in, babies. Have a great day.
You know.